Just a reminder, next week is going to be Easter weekend, and we have services all through the weekend. We have Saturday night, which I've heard from people already who said, thank you so much, I have to work on Sunday. So I am very grateful that that's offered. We have then our sunrise service, and then we have two other services, our normal services that we operate within these time frames. But during our first service, we have a little smaller setting over in the outlet. It'll be a live band. They'll do the same music. It will also have the same message. It will be on the screens, and so it will work and be a great opportunity for us to be able to reach more people. And that's the message of the gospel, that we can reach more people with Christ. And do you know, people make a decision whether or not they're going to return to church in the first 6 minutes. That's what they tell us. And so that's not so much up to us, it's up to you, because you're the ones who make people feel comfortable or not. Sharon and I will never forget, we were on vacation one Sunday, and we were visiting the church, and as we came through, we, other than the official greeter at the door, we made it was possible for us to get all the way from the parking lot to our seat, and then back out again without anybody speaking to us. That should never have happened. They looked like a happy group of people. They were all talking and in little circles and group, but there was no more room for anybody else other than who was there. And there's a great importance for each of us to make sure we're doing all we can to help people feel comfortable, not judgmental, not critical, but just a smile that comes pretty easily that doesn't cost you anything, and just a simple greeting to people that are around you, not becoming so closed that you're in your groups and talking, but that you're not able to see those that are around you, and moving over, parking as far away as possible so people can be able to be closer who are looking for an excuse not to be here. And so I just really encourage you in all of that. Thank you. You do it really well. We hear that often from people who come, but I just kind of keep it on our radar a little bit closer this coming week as we look forward to that. I say this, a lot of times, you know, because you're in different services, you may not know somebody who's in another service or that kind of thing. One of the easy ways that you can do a greeting that you're not really sure whether or not they're new or they've been here forever, because if you say, well, are you new here? And they go, no, I've been here 6 years. And it's like, okay, that was awkward. Now what do I do? So one of the best ways is you say, how long have you been worshiping with us? How long have you been worshiping with us? If they say, oh, this is my first Sunday. Oh, great, welcome. If they say, I've been here about 5 years. Said, oh, well, it's nice to see you or nice to meet you, whatever. So if you say, how long have you been worshiping? It doesn't put a time, so it's a very comfortable greeting. So why don't you try that? Ask me that question. Oh, about 35 years. You didn't know? No. But anyway, it's a good way to be able to do it. Here's a card. It's in your bulletin just to remind you. You can put it on the altar as you're leaving today. Make sure. Leave us the little church. You keep the little people. This is your verbal commitment to share your faith this week. And so if there's somebody on your heart and you would particularly like to be able to share with them, if you would do that, put it up here. We'll promise to pray for these this week. And so that God will help empower you to make sure that you can be able to share that. I say this every week, but this time I'm really good. We will not run out of rocks. I know a few couples greeted me after the service last week, and they said, I heard you go, oh, no. Does that mean they're out of rocks? And I said, yeah. And I said, but this week, we won't. If you happen to give yours away to somebody you work with or however it happens, because at this point, we'll have over 3,200 rocks given out. So they are out there. The unique thing about them is they are all different color, size, shape, texture, and that's kind of a cool thing. And it's just a reminder of the presence of God as we kind of keep it with us. And so I know it's turned into a witnessing tool for a lot of people, but we will be in good shape this week, and I think next, to make sure. Today we're talking about freedom through the cross. And so that's the message of today, freedom through the cross. What that freedom is that God brings to our lives and what that means. The scripture that we would be able to look at says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, teach us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to hear your voice. Empower us to live the life you've called us to live. In Christ's name, amen. As we would talk, there are several things. First, let's understand Jesus promises me freedom through the cross. He promises all freedom. So I need to make sure I'm remembering I have freedom. As we talked last week, so many people are living below the standard that God has provided for us. He's given us the ability to live in freedom. But so many people are not free. Even though they've given their heart to Christ and they've said, you know, I want to follow God, they live in prison. Prisons of bitterness or resentment or anger, or ways that the enemy has found ways to draw circles around us and pull us in and hold us prisoner and captive. God has something far better and far greater for each one of us if we can be able to understand the freedom that he wants to bring to each of us. I want to describe, there are three words in the New Testament that are used to describe freedom for which Christ has set us free. One word for forgiveness, which refers to God's pardon. So the freedom that we have, forgiveness, if we can really grab hold of the importance of that forgiveness, if we could be able to just realize what God has done for us and the forgiveness that comes. So no matter what's been a part of your life, no matter what's happened, no matter what you've done, God promises us forgiveness. He promises that that can be ours. And the scripture says, "But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." And so our forgiveness comes through him. And that brings freedom. That brings freedom in the sense that I am released from that. So no matter what's been a part of my life, no matter what's happened, no matter what I've done, God says, "I forgive you." And he gives us that so we can be able to put that in our past. We don't have to bring it to our present. We don't have to live there. The other word is translated authority. This word refers to the privilege and authority purchased by the Lord Jesus through the precious blood for our freedom. And so there's authority over the enemy. That's the victory that we have in Christ. That's the victory that we have on the cross. So there's a power that comes over that and an authority that we don't have to be controlled by that fear. We don't have to be controlled by whatever it is that's been a part of it. The scripture tells us, when you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive, whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. You see, that kind of freedom comes to us through the authority of Christ. So you don't have to be held prisoner or captive or fearful. You have authority over that because of Christ in you and the power of the cross. A third word is a picture, a word that pictures one who was formerly in prison but now has been liberated. So the freedom that comes to us is like breaking out of prison, breaking free from the way that the enemy would hold you down. And so you don't have to be subject to that. You can find that kind of release. Paul says it this way, "And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you're now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you're now a slave of Christ." And so that's the new work that is in us. And it's a desire to seek after him and to follow him. John Piper says it this way, and I'll give lots of explanation as I'm walking through this because it goes, and so think about it. You are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets. I'll read it again. You are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets forever. Here's how he explains it a little bit further. If you don't have the desire to do a thing, you're not fully free to do it. Oh, you may muster the willpower to do what you don't want to do, but nobody calls that full freedom. And if you have the desire to do something, but no ability to do it, you're not free to do it. And if you have the desire and the ability to do something, but no opportunity to do it, you're not free to do it. If you have the desire to do something and the ability to do it and the opportunity to do it, but it destroys you in the end, you're not fully free, not free indeed. So, let me explain it even further. He goes on to say this. He illustrates this, John Piper illustrates this with an example of skydiving. How many of you have ever wanted to go skydiving? Okay, how many have ever done it? Okay, a few. All right. Barb, you've done it. Good for you. I want to do it sometime. How many of you would never do that? You think that's absolutely crazy? Yeah, there you go. My wife always says she wants to give her life for something that's of value. Okay, we'll use that illustration anyway. So, here's how it goes. So you want to experience the thrill of the freedom of skydiving, but on the way to the airport, you have an accident and can't get there. You lack the freedom of opportunity. Or suppose you get there, but you didn't take the required class, so you don't know how to operate your parachute. You lack the freedom of ability. Or you get to the airport, you took the classes, you got up in the plane, but when they open the door, you look down and you're paralyzed with fear. I kind of think that's what's going to happen to me. You lack the freedom of desire, so you don't jump. But there's one last requirement for true freedom. Suppose you get to the airport, freedom of opportunity, you took the classes, freedom of ability, you go up in the plane and look out the door and can't wait to jump, freedom of desire. So you jump and are enjoying the freedom of falling through the air, but your parachute is defective and you're going to smash into the ground. You're not truly free because what you're doing is going to destroy you. To go back to his definition, you are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets forever. So here it is. You are fully free when you have the desire and the ability. God says he gives us the desire and the power to do his will. Right? He gives us the desire and the power to do his will and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets. And if you do God's will, you're not going to have any regrets. So the good news is that he brings freedom to us completely. Now, to discover this freedom, I must realize and admit my slavery. So I can't really be free unless I'm willing to admit my slavery. Scripture says it this way: he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Now that's where we start to discover the freedom, because the cross gave me the power to be set free from the power of the enemy. The cross gave me the power to be set free from the power of the enemy. You have been given the power and the freedom not to sin. You see, when you sin, you're a slave to sin because you didn't choose. It just happens. You didn't, like, consciously, but there it was. And the fact is, it wasn't a choice on your part, and so you've not really been free. But God gives you the power to be free from sin and to not continue in that. There are choices that you make, and the more you make those choices, the greater your ability and power to not sin becomes a part of your life. And so, when I first gave my heart to Christ, I have to tell you very honestly, before I came to Christ, I swore a lot. And so, my language was not the language of a Christian. You see, as a Christian, my life needs to change. I need to not only live differently, I need to talk differently. And it takes a conscious choice on my part to now do that. And so what did I have to do? I had to make sure that I was going to not use that language anymore. Because that's not how I want to be seen as a Christ follower. And so I consciously chose not to use that because I didn't want to ruin my witness or my testimony before people. Now, did the words still come into my head? Yes, they did. For several years, to be honest with you, I had those words come into my head every time something would happen, but I chose not to be able to let those out. That was a matter of choosing the desire to do God's will and the power to overcome it. That's what He gives us. He gives you the desire. I didn't want to do that. He gave me the power not to do it anymore. And so my life was then transformed. And that continued in different areas of my life. That's what God wants to do in each of our lives. Because He gives you the power not to sin. You don't have to sin. He gives you the power not to. And so you make a conscious choice of how it's going to be. This way, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could He set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So not only does He free us, but He releases us from the fears that would encumber us. And so that's a conscious choice on our part to be released, because He says, I want to give you the desire and the power to do God's will. The desire and the power. So something in me wants to live differently. That's God. That's God. And so God continued to put that in me to want to be different. So when I gave my heart to Christ, that's the beginning. And then He gave me the power to be different. And then to be able to live, and the opportunity to live with no regrets. That's the freedom that He gives to us. You see, the cross brings the power of God to my life. It brings the power of God to my life. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You see, Paul could have used at his access his human wisdom to kind of persuade, but he knew the greatest persuasion would be by the power of God. And that's what we have to realize. I am totally dependent on the power of God to be able to work through my life to let that be seen. You see, the cross brings freedom when I admit my need. You're never going to have freedom unless you can finally say, I'm helpless to overcome this. I can't get over this. I have tried humanly and frustrated, but I need God's help to be an overcomer. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, and the truth will set you free. Good. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. See, like we were born good. Like, it's, you know, we don't really need this. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? They had hundreds of laws that they had to follow. Hundreds of laws, constantly obsessed by following those. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly
free.
Exactly. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants you to have freedom. He wants you to be free and not to be encumbered by all that the enemy would put on you, but to be released from that. You see, the cross brings freedom when I am faithful to Christ's teaching. Let me say this. 1 hour a week, I couldn't be that good to give you 1 hour a week that would last you all week long. You need God every day. You need His power. You need His teaching. You need His word in you daily. It's not enough. Don't you realize you are constantly being bombarded by the world, constantly being pressed into a mold that the world lives by, that you start to absorb their values and you start to absorb what's in the world rather than what God's word would have you. And before long, you're living the same life that they're living. You're reacting the same way to things that they're reacting. You're handling problems in the same way. You get just as angry. You get just as worried. You get just as frustrated. You even may use the same language or do the same things. And God is calling us to be different. But we can't find that until we find the freedom and we are faithful to His teaching. And that's why we need to walk in freedom and let my old self die. Now, you can't crucify yourself, because if you did, you'd get one nail in and then be hanging. You can't do it. But you can surrender yourself and allow Him to destroy that in you. So it's not our works. It's by our surrender that we find more and more freedom in Him. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So now my life is different. It's no longer me. It's Him. And so what does that look like? And how do I demonstrate that life? First of all, I must die to the opinion of others. That means I can't let other people control me by their opinion. And this comes hard. And I could say, like as a person who's a people pleaser, and I struggle with all of that, it's really hard because I think I'm on top of this some days, then I find myself being subject to other people's opinion, and I fall down. I've got to make sure I end up dying to their opinion and saying, Lord, Your opinion is the most important opinion that I care about, and I want to make sure that I'm living for Your opinion and not their opinion. And that makes the difference. Let me read you this one so you will see how difficult it is to follow people's opinion and how diverse they are. Once upon a time, an old man and his son were on their way to the market. The old man was leading a donkey, and the boy was walking behind when they went through the first village. There, the people called the old man a fool for not riding on the donkey. So he climbed up on the animal's back. In the second village, the people said the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed the ride. So the old man got off and put the boy on the donkey. In the third village, the people accused the boy of being lazy for making the old man walk. So the man got on the donkey with the boy. In the fourth village, the people felt sorry for the donkey because he was made to carry two people. So when the old man and his son arrived at the market, the old man was seen carrying the donkey. Here's the problem. He kept listening to the opinion of others and tried to live by that. They're all going to be different around you, folks. Everybody's going to have a different opinion. And if you try to live by everybody else's opinion, they'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You just have to say, I'm going to die to other people's opinion, and I'm going to live to God's. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised, want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. If you looked at this whole issue that Paul talks about in this, what he talks about in this whole issue of circumcision is your good works as if they're going to save you, and you're trying to do all of these good things to please other people. And he said, that's not going to get it for you. You're not going to get to heaven by good works and trying to do all these good things. You're going to get there by the grace of God. You're going to get there by trusting God's grace, nothing else. Now, I don't want you to think Romans 6, he says that because I have God's grace, I can sin all I want. That would be, Romans 6 tells you, no, that's foolishness. But what I do know is that God gives me grace, and the only way I'm going to get to heaven is by his grace, not by my works. I must die to the idea that I can get to heaven by any good works or being good enough. You will never be good enough to be able to get to heaven, just so you know. In your best day, you're not even close. We can't. The only way we're going to get there is by God's grace. The only way we're going to get there is by fully trusting him, not myself. And so I have to know that that's how it's going to happen. As for me, I must never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I boast in. What a wonderful work in me that God has done. What a great thing that God has accomplished. Somebody came to me after first service and they said, Pastor, I just want to thank you because I have lived a year free of the obsession of worry that I lived under for all my life. They said, God has given me freedom. And they said, and you did that. I said, oh no, God did that. I would never boast in anything except the cross of Christ. But I want to tell you that God can bring freedom to you that you never had before. Freedom that can be able to release you. You have to die to the world's interest in you as well. And so I have to say, you know, Lord, I have to die to people's opinion and to their interest in me. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. See, my values are so different than what they were. And the world's interest in me has also died. That's what God tells us. And so that's got to be a different world. I must be able to see my full need for dependence on the cross, because the closer I get to the cross, the more I see my unworthiness. I realize I can't do this. I can't do this except for God. So cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. You see, it's so important that I'm holding fast to it. You know, there's a freedom of the cross that will come to us when we are fully his and trusting him and saying, Lord, here I am. Here's why scripture says, don't be selfish trying to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests. Take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, died a criminal's death on a cross. That's the message that needs to be kept in our minds. Here's what it does for you. Freedom, it will bring a heart to serve. Freedom brings a heart to serve. No one should have to be telling you, I want to tell you, no one should have to be telling you, you need to serve. Come on, folks, you need to get involved. You need to be busy. No one should have to tell you that, because the Spirit of God should tell you that. It should be in your heart that there is a freedom that I want to serve. It's not forced on you. It should be something inside of you. That is a healthy sign of God working in you that says, what can I do to serve? How can I be a part? Their freedom to serve should come to your life. There should also be a humility that only desires for Christ to be seen in me. We're not trying to draw people to us. We're not trying to draw people to anything but Jesus. And that's what needs to make sure is a part of that. And so there is a desire to say, well, whatever it is, praise God, that it's Jesus, because that's what I want people to see in me more than anything else. There should be a hunger to be obedient. Something inside of me that says, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. And whatever is a part of my life, if there's anything that's not really seeking after Him or following Him or doing what I'm supposed to be doing, there should be something inside of you that says, I want to do this. I want to be obedient. Something's wrong when there's not a desire to be obedient that's a part of it. That is a freedom. It's not a law I live under. It's a desire. More and more, how can I live for Jesus? What more can I do? How can I serve Him better? How can I be closer? How can I make sure? And how can I be more obedient? Is there something God's speaking to my heart that I need to say yes to and not hold back from? Freedom will bring a full surrender to the will and desire of God. It brings a full surrender. So I am saying, Lord, I am fully yours. What do you want to do in my life? How do you want to work? What do you want to accomplish? That's the message of the Christ that we serve. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. See, this should be happening more and more. Sin loses its power over your life. More and more. We are no longer slaves to sin. He gives you the desire and the power not to sin. That's how God continues to work in your life, and a greater freedom continues to come. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. That's the good news. There are many who are held prisoner by bitterness, guilt, resentment, worry, and the list goes on and on. They're held captive by memories. Jesus died for your freedom so that you wouldn't be held prisoner by any of those. I want us to all pray this prayer. Some of you may not need to pray it in the same way. Maybe that's not the case. But if you just join in, we can all pray it together to find that kind of release from that. Father, only you understand how much I've been hurt by these people. I don't want to carry the pain for another second. I don't want to be a bitter person, but I need your grace and the power of the cross to release my hurt and to forgive those who've hurt me. This is the turning point. First, I need to experience your forgiveness. You know all the ways I've hurt others, and I'm so sorry for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I accept your grace and forgiveness. I need it daily. Today, I'm turning to you and I'm choosing to forgive the way you have forgiven me. Every time the memory comes back, I'll forgive them again until the pain is gone. Heal my heart with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the freedom that Christ has for us when our trust is fully in Him. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, go with us. Help us to hold fast to the freedom that you have given to us in Christ. Help us to remember all that you have done and daily surrender to you afresh and anew, trusting you for the grace that is powerful enough to free us from the prison that the enemy would like to hold over us. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.